Well, this ought to be a fun show on a Tuesday. Dennis Stuckey with you. Bobby McKillop joins us right off the bat today. Got him up on the bat phone. The last three games for the Red Wings have been particularly bad. Give up seven goals in Montreal. Montreal is a team that might not score seven goals in its next four or five games. But they got seven last night against the Wings. Gave up eight in Boston. You know, I expected the Leafs to get their five goals, but, you know, it's bad right now. But one thing I'm going to say, Killer, before I let you put your two cents in, I'm tired of everybody going, oh, they're playing four rookie defensemen. Do you really think Green, Cronwall, Daly, Erickson, DeKaiser are going to make that big of a difference? They were minus 38 collectively last year, okay? And I went back and I watched all the goals from last night's game, and it's not the defense that are making the mistakes. It's the forwards, both young and old. Mantha was particularly bad last night. Larkin made a mistake on a goal. And Thomas Vanek directly gave away two goals last night, and nobody says a word. Nobody says a word, but when Anthony Mantha skates by a guy, look out, it's front page news. So there's my piece for now. Killer, you go ahead and do what you got to do.
Well, this is bad, right? I mean, obviously, the Wings are in disarray. You can tell by the way they're playing, both on the offensive and the defensive side of the puck. Look, at you and I both knew going into this year that this was going to be a struggle. We both know that this was going to be a team that's in a rebuild. This is going to be a team that if they were going to compete on a night in and night out basis, that they had to get a lot of good games from a lot of young players, and the veteran players need to be the best players. And if you take a look at who these guys are right now, and it's pretty simple, Larkin's minus seven, Nyquist has no goals, he's minus eight, Mantha is minus 10
with only one goal.
Albuquerque 5, minus 5. I mean, if you're going to compete at this level, the National Hockey League level, which it's built on speed now. So this league is built totally on speed. It's not a crash and bang league. It's a speed. It's built on, can I compete? Can I move my feet? Do I feel like playing that night? Do I feel like coming out and giving everything I've got? Is the guy across from me going to outcompete me? They're getting outcompeted badly. You talked a little bit about those goals last night. A couple of those goals had nothing to do with other than, I just don't want to compete right now. I don't want to be the guy that's going to get in there, get dirty. Guys are passing, skating past pucks. There's pucks sitting by the loose net. That's a target goal. Three Detroit Red Wing players flew by the puck. Three. Rule of thumb, no matter where you're playing, whether you're playing at a novice level, where you're playing in the National Hockey League, when that puck arrives at the net, you better be there, and you better be there in offensive position, you better be there in a defensive position. And I don't know what's going on down there in Detroit, but the way that looks to me right now, these guys, some of these guys have checked out.
So how do you fix it? I mean, what's the answer here? Because I know the Red Wing way of doing it is pick out the youngsters, a.k.a. Michael Rasmussen. Yes, he doesn't have a goal yet. He only has 1 point. But he's an even player. He's not really hurting them. He's not, you know, doing anything to help them win right now, but he's not hurting them. He's the guy that gets singled out and thrown up into the stands, while Thomas Vanek, who finally got his first goal of the season last night at minus eight, giving away goals. Giving away. And all I heard all summer, oh, they got him for his leadership. Well, if that's how you lead, it's no wonder the young kids all suck.
Well, I mean, here's the biggest problem, right? Is what ends up happening is the Detroit way is really, really, really simple. Is we're going to blame the young guys, Mantha, Nathasiou, obviously now Rasmussen, who's an even player in five games. These are the guys who are going to get take the rap. There's no accountability on a veteran end. And I knew for years. Listen, every year I played, I knew I had to be a certain guy. I needed to put up certain numbers if I was going to be able to stick around or if I was going to help the hockey team. There's just no ifs, ands, and buts about it. I needed to produce. And these guys, look, when I take a look at what Nyquist has done the last couple of years and who he is and who he needs to be for the Detroit Red Wings with the amount of minutes he gets, he has to be a guy that's putting points on the board. He has to be a plus player. He's got to be points on the board. Listen, Luke Glendening is going to be this guy forever. He's played six games. He's got two assists. He's an even player. Now, I mean, that's just who he's going to be. When you take a look at who we need the Detroit Red Wings to be, the Dylan Larkins, the Nyquist, obviously Nastasiou, Mantha, and obviously Bannock's here for a reason. These guys have to produce. And I mean, what I mean by produce is on both sides of the puck. They got to be just as good on the offensive side as they do the defensive side. And it's tough.
I mean, if you're going to give me a guy with a goal and a minus eight, and you're going to give me another guy, an Abdelkader, with no points and a minus five, and you're going to lose 7-3, 8-2, 5-2, well, hell, I'd rather watch Zadina play. I'd rather watch Giovanni Smith play. I'd rather watch Svechnikov play. I might get season tickets to Grand Rapids. They're going to be more interesting. Especially in another month when all the kids get sent back because all the veterans come back in and not much changes in Detroit. Maybe they don't lose 7-3. Maybe they only lose 5-3, but they keep losing.
I mean, the thing about it is, Stuck, you and I have talked about this for the last couple of years while you and I have been doing this thing, is that's not their way. That is just not their way. They aren't going to be bringing these guys up. Zadina is starting to play better down there. Obviously, he's a young guy. And listen, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, and I'm repeating myself over and over again. We are in a rebuild. The Detroit Red Wings are in a rebuild right now. We're going to rebuild the way we have to rebuild. And again, you know, all you people out there that want to laugh, go ahead, laugh all you want. There is a roadmap, and the roadmap is just to your north, and it's a pretty easy roadmap to follow. The Toronto Maple Leafs 3 years ago were in this exact same position. And they're currently the first place team overall in the National Hockey League. That's not by chance. That's by design. And what they were able to do was they have how many of their players right now, if we added up, if you and I did right now, said, let's take a look, how many of their players are under 23 years old and where do they fit in their system right now? Who are they in their system?
They're all their big players.
Yeah. Because why? Because they've been playing there for 3 years. They've allowed Austin Matthews to play. They've allowed a Mitch Marner, who 2 years ago was in Mike Babcock's doghouse, was a fourth-line player, would have been playing in Grand Rapids for sure if he was here. But, oh, no, we're going to stick with him. He's going to learn the game. He's going to fail. We're going to hold him accountable. And now he's part of one of probably the most deadly lines in the National Hockey League. And I wouldn't doubt if he doesn't end up being an NHL superstar. So we have that type of talent here. The Rasmussen, the Zadinas. This Giovanni Smith is an up-and-down crasher. Why not give these kids a chance to come up here? Well, partly because you can't, because of contracts. Because these guys that you can't send down because they're on a one-way contract, the guys that have been here forever, you can't just send these guys down. You have to put them on the trading block or you got to get release them. And somebody in that organization is saying, you know what, I'm not ready to do that. So this is going to be a tough year. This is going to be a long, tough year.
Is that why you never hear a veteran on this team called out? Because they know it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter. So you're Ken Holland or worse, you're poor Jeff Blashill. I'm starting to feel sorry for Jeff Blashill because everybody thinks this guy's a garbage coach. And I don't think he's ever had a chance since he's become the head coach of the Red Wings to show anybody what kind of a coach he actually is. Because how can you walk into the room and berate Abdelkader, berate DeKaiser, berate Cronwall or Erickson or any of these guys, Nyquist, when they know they're not going anywhere? They're not moving me. Nobody wants my contract in the rest of the NHL. They can't send me to Grand Rapids. I've got a no-movement clause. I'm getting paid. They can't say anything to me.
Well, I'm holding them accountable. I don't need to use their names, but I'm definitely sitting in front of the media at this point, and I'm saying, look, it's pretty simple. Our veteran players need to be our leaders both on and off the ice. Our veteran players need to be our leaders at practice. Our veteran players need to be leaders in games, and that's not happening. And there's a little bit of complacency going on around here, and unfortunately that's just not going to cut it. Yep, contractually we've got some things that we're bound by, but let me tell you this. I can make this a really long year for these guys. So either we're going to start working as hard as we can and practice in the games, or our practices will be five times tougher than any game these guys have played. So I suggest these guys start to figure out that, hey, guess what? You're getting paid to do a job right now. Right now you're failing. So let's get ourselves going. Let's not forget, in the offseason, Dan Bylsma, a Stanley Cup winning coach, is now a part of that staff. I think the more time that goes by, with things continuing to go in this direction, you can't give up the goals they're giving up. It's not that they're losing. It's how they're losing. We're not losing games. We're giving away games. Not only are we giving away games, but now we're in a position where we're giving up 5, 7, 8 goals consecutively. That trend can't keep going. And if that trend does keep going, with Bylsma just 5 feet away in his office, Jeff Blashill might not get a chance to prove if he can coach in this league.
But is it going to change? This is my other point, is what's going to change if Bylsma takes over? He's still got the same problems to deal with that Blashill's dealing with.
And again, you know, and you and I have talked about this, you know, in a roundabout way. Something, there's a disconnect there somewhere. There's something going on there somewhere. Where is it? I don't know where it is, but there's a disconnect there somewhere. You got Zetterberg, the captain. He's through injury, had to walk away. But there's something going on there that just isn't clicking. That just isn't. There's not a recipe for winning. There's not a recipe for competing. There isn't a culture being bred down there that's conducive of success. So where do we start, or where do we end with that? Well, you can't get rid of everybody. So, I mean, obviously the first guy to fall, and I'm going to say it, I can't say it's his fault. Say that he's the reason why things are the way they are. Let's call a spade a spade. That grocery list that they're dealing with there, it's not a good one. It's not like he's going to be able to cook a 5-star meal at a 5-star restaurant with what he's got. I mean, we all understand that, but there's a feeling of complacency, and obviously watching them playing the way they're playing, I would be losing my mind.
I am losing my mind, and I'm, to be honest about it, all I am, Killer, is a fan. But I just have been watching this now, and for me, it's been going on longer than just the last few years. I mean, to me, this was even going on when Babcock was here. Towards the end, and I think it's part of the reason why Babcock isn't here anymore is he was seeing the path that this organization was going on.
It's absolutely the reason why he's not here. 100% is the reason why. He saw what was coming. He saw what he had. He saw what his core was and who they were, and he made a decision after being here for 10 years, and he could write his ticket anywhere, and he made the decision to leave because he knew what was coming. And again, this is one of the most storied franchises in all sports. What they've done in their playoff streak of 26 years in a row, that may never be broken. And who they've been and the ability, what they've done for the National Hockey League for years and years and years, we'll never be able to take that away from them. However, just like the Edmonton Oilers are going through their little sputter, this is where you find out who your people are. This is where you find out who your scouts are, who your general managers are, who everybody from an internal standpoint are, how good they do their job. This is where the best teams in the National Hockey League's front office, the best players in the front office, forget about the guys putting on the uniform. This is where the guys in the front office show you who they are right now. This 2.5 to 3 year spurt, and we'll see where we go from here.
All right, Killer, I got to let you go and get into the break, but as always, appreciate it. It's nice to hear somebody else has similar thoughts to what I have sometimes.
Well, I mean, at this point, who can't, right? I mean, listen, I get it. I'm a fan. I'm a fan too, Stuck, but let's be real here for a bit, shall we?
All right, we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Okay, man, see ya.
All right, see ya. All right, there's Bobby McKillop. We'll talk more Red Wings when we come back, but I got to hit the break now, and then we will return.